ZeroDebt100.com.
I'm like the centrifugal force on those dizzying rides we can't seem to get away from at amusement parks across the country. We've had four straight days of 400-point turns on the stock market, and that's where we begin. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Oh, yeah, we're going to zig and zag all over the place. You know what I'm talking about, that centrifugal force, where we blow you against the wall, those rides that went around and around and different names depending on what park you're talking about. In fact, I grew up in Jersey. It was called the Hellhole, and it was on the New Jersey boardwalk. Very apropos for what we're seeing with the Dow. The Dow on Thursday soaring back up 423 points. So stocks were rising really at the close of trading, because what investors had done was grabbed on to a little bit of the good news that the economy actually might not be headed into another recession. But, and there was fewer people jumping in the unemployment line last week, although the unemployment numbers are disgraceful, 9.1%. So the Dow Jones was up almost 4%. And it's the first time the Dow has ever had that, as I said, four straight days where you went 400 points in one direction, 400 points in another direction. So everything else, all the other indices followed suit. The S&P was up almost 5%, the NASDAQ 4.7%. You do the math. Who knows what Friday will bring. In the meantime, it's all about Iowa, baby, because anyone who's somebody who wants to run for the Republican ticket is on hand. Even Sarah Palin, part of a whole bus tour thing going through Iowa. Remember, she hasn't said anything about running for president, but there are a lot of people that would like to see her run. Michelle Bachmann squared off on the stage in the Republican debates in that state against somebody from the very same state that she is, the former governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, who had plenty to say as they really kind of tried to take nicks out of each other. Coming up in our next segment here on America Tonight during this jam-packed hour, we're going to go to Iowa to talk with Talk Radio News' Jeff Holtzman, who covered this debate. Somebody else who was on hand that I have to mention at the top was Rick Perry, because Rick Perry is getting closer and closer to the run for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The Texas governor is still at the top of a close pack in the hunt for that ticket. So he hasn't declared yet, but people pretty much assumed he was going to, so his name has hovered around in the polls. According to a CNN ORC international poll, 15% of Republicans and independents that tilt toward the GOP pick Perry as their first choice for the nomination. How about that? 2 points behind Mitt Romney, who's, of course, making a second stab at getting in the White House. But Romney's still on top, and, you know, the rest of the pack fell down from there. Michelle Bachmann, who has definitely raised some eyebrows and has gotten a couple of strong bounces in some polls, has 7% in the poll. Newt Gingrich, 5%. Herman Cain, remember, Godfather CEO, radio talk show host, he's right behind them, and then so on and so forth all the way down, because there's so many people that are in the mix for this now at this point. It's early in the game, though. Who's going to be the front runner who jets ahead? My sources, both Democratic and Republican, really feel like it's Mitt Romney's, unless something crazy happens. Now, he was heckled by some people in Iowa, and we're going to let you hear at the end of the hour what that sounded like. But before we get to that, President Obama, while all these Republicans who want his job are in Iowa, were there for the debate, and are hanging around shaking hands and kissing babies, the president says he doesn't understand what all the fuss is about with some of the things that are going on, particularly when it comes to really the debt ceiling. There's that hangover still here a week and a half later. And he says, really, there's nothing wrong with the country.
There is nothing wrong with our country. There is something wrong with our politics.
All right, so what do you think, America? Is it just that there's something wrong with our politics? It's become so bitter. I mean, that is true. It's become so bitter. It's like rabid fans and huge rivalries in sports. Let me give you an example. Boston Red Sox fans and New York Yankee fans always need to be separated. And they're not just trash talking. It can get really scary and really ugly. I've been to both parks when both teams are playing each other. That's what it's become like on the Hill. Now, there's a break in the action because everybody's on vacation for the most part. And then, of course, those that are trying to get the Republican nomination in this run for president in 2012 are in Iowa. And there's other business being conducted outside of Washington. But when everybody comes back, what is that going to be like? What is that going to be like? So do you agree with the president? There is nothing wrong with our country. There's nothing that can't be fixed. But it's stuff that should have been fixed decades ago. And I think that's really the problem. All right, also coming up this hour, we're going to introduce you to a woman who's involved with a great program, I think, a nonprofit that is really trying to help teens with that whole confidence thing. It's my daily salute because we see what's happening, for example, in England. And really, you're talking about a lot of young people. These are people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who are looting the places and who are scaring people in some of these burbs outside of London. These are teenagers. These are teen gang members. And I know I've said this before on the air when all of this mayhem broke loose 5-6 days ago. Where are the parents in all of that? Do any of these kids that are 12 years old, do they have parents? I mean, it's gotten so bad there, and a lot of it is because they're Twittering where they're going next. So when they see cops, they're saying, okay, go 3 streets over, and we're going to blow up a bunch of cars. We're going to set them on fire, and we're going to smash windows and all that stuff. So now David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, is saying that maybe what we need to do is just shut down social media and this free flow of information that's kind of problematic here, because we're seeing it with the whole Facebook and Twitter, the tweets, the stuff that's happening social media-wise, where to go, what to do, what kind of violent things you should do. It's interesting because that's not a Cameron type of thing. Do you know that more than 1,400 people have been arrested so far in the UK? So far. One of the retailers in London, one, just one, they say they've lost more than $161 million in all the stolen loot and all the property damage over 5 nights of rioting. 5 nights of rioting. You know where most of the tweets and all that stuff, what they're coming in on? They say Blackberries, because the British teenagers like the Blackberries rather than the smartphones. Mm. Anyway, what can the teens be encouraged to do in America? We're going to talk about that coming up in a couple segments here on America Tonight. But next, we're going to Iowa. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
The former governor of Minnesota came out swinging. Michelle Bachmann was on the attack. Mitt Romney was heckled heading into the day. Oh, what a debate. A little bit different than the polite conversations they were having in New Hampshire back in June. Hey, everybody. America Tonight, Kate Delaney here at the helm. We're heading to Iowa to get the skinny from our friend Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Kate, I'm great. I'm in the Midwest. It's always great to be here.
No kidding. The people are salt of the earth. I say my favorite, the flyover states, great people. So what was the crowd like for this debate?
Well, unfortunately, Kate, myself and the rest of the press, we were put into sort of an auxiliary space, not in the Stevens Auditorium where the actual debate was. We're in the Hilton Coliseum, which is, I guess, adjacent to it. So we weren't actually in the room. But I think it was a pretty energized crowd, judging from the amount of applause that you heard during the debate. I mean, I think there was more reaction from the crowd this time around than there was in New Hampshire back in June. And I think one of the reasons for that is there were some more sparks this time around, whereas last debate, most of the candidates played it safe. They went after President Obama, but they really didn't go after each other. There was a lot of, bickering back and forth this time between the candidates, notably between Michelle Bachmann and Tim Pawlenty. Those two had a couple memorable exchanges, hitting each other over their records. Pawlenty when he was governor of Minnesota, and Pawlenty criticized Bachmann for, you know, her lack of experience and that sort of thing. So I thought that helped generate some excitement from the crowd. You had Ron Paul supporters come out, and he got a lot of buzz and applause, some of the things he said. And so overall the atmosphere was high energy, more so than last time.
Yeah, that's why I would say the same thing. I love it, though, the media in the cheap seats. You got to love that, Jeff. You get the cheap seats.
We're the scoundrels. You got to put us somewhere. So.
Yeah, exactly. They needed rooms. That's why they had such a big crowd. So you talked about this. Pawlenty really came out. I said this came out on the offense. Do you think he picks up a little bit of a bounce from this? Because he kind of had to he had to show some teeth. He had to show he had a spine based on what happened, I think, last time in New Hampshire, don't you?
Exactly, Kate. I think he really, this was make or break for him. He had to show a national audience that he's a fighter. And I thought that he scrapped a little bit, and in the end, I think he gave himself a little bit of a bounce. We'll see how it reflects when the next round of polling comes out, and his latest poll results have been dismal. So, I mean, he can't really go down a whole lot. So I think he helped himself out a little bit. I think Bachman took a little bit of a hit. I think she came out of the gate just storming. Now, she had a couple great lines about making President Obama one-term president. She stuck to her guns in terms of touting her record as being against President Obama, as voting to repeal the things that he's passed, namely the health care law as well as the Wall Street reform law. But Pawlenty was able to, I think, bring her down a notch when he went after her for supporting his cigarette tax that he signed off on as governor of Minnesota. They got into sort of a war of words over that, but I think that people who just were casually paying attention to the debate gave Pawlenty the point on that one. So I think that Pawlenty has more work to do. He helped himself a little bit tonight. I think the big winner tonight, and I said this in New Hampshire, I think it's Mitt Romney. I think Romney, you know, you alluded to the crazy day that he had. He obviously was heckled at an appearance at the fairgrounds, and he had sort of a minor rhetorical gaffe when he said corporations are people. I don't think that's exactly what he meant. Nonetheless, that's a soundbite that you're going to hear used against him a lot as the weeks and months go on. But I think that Romney in tonight's debate stayed above the fray, and I think that, you know, he was given an opportunity to go after Bachman and Pawlenty, and he sort of passed. And some people might, take that as a sign of weakness. I look at that as something presidential. He knows that he's the front runner, and he doesn't want to get bogged down with the lower tier candidates. And I think that he's still the front runner after tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think it's Romney all the way, even though Bachman tried to take his legs out on health care. And you mentioned how he handled the people being heckled at the fairgrounds and all that sort of stuff. He still is ahead in the polls, even with this whole Rick Perry thing. What about that? What about I call it the sideshow, because now you got the Rick Perry deal going on, and he's going to officially announce. And then Sarah Palin, the bus tour thing and all of that. How did that take up a lot of space? Was there a lot of conversation, even among all the media that was there?
Oh, there's a ton of buzz, Kate, about Rick Perry. It's all anybody can talk about tonight. And, I mean, the bottom line is he's going to announce this weekend. He's going to make it official, and he's not going to be in Iowa. And so that presents a very interesting dynamic because, you know, all the attention this week was supposed to be generated out of Ames and Des Moines with the debate tonight and the straw poll on Saturday. And Rick Perry has essentially sucked a lot of energy out of the state by being elsewhere when he makes his announcement. And part of it's, you know, strategic. I mean, he wants to be in the headlines Sunday morning, when all the other candidates who have been in Iowa will be in the headlines, and that's one way to do it, is announce your campaign on Saturday. And right now, Rick Perry, the country, I think, is slowly learning more about Rick Perry. I mean, voters in Texas obviously know a whole lot about him. He's the longest tenured governor currently out there, consecutively, I should say. Terry Branstad, actually, the governor of Iowa, is the longest tenured at this point, but still. But Perry has a lot of work to do in terms of introducing himself on a national scale. But more and more is coming out, but there's still a lot of unknown. And so I think that he's sort of like the darling pick right now. He's filling a vacuum that's been created by the absence of a Haley Barbour and a Chris Christie and other candidates who were maybes, but then ultimately decided against running. And now people are looking at the GOP field, and they're looking at tonight's debate and all the candidates and saying, yeah, Romney's the front runner, but I'm not totally sold on him. I want to see what else is out there. And that's why there's so much buzz around Perry, as well as Sarah Palin, who will be in Iowa at some point this week. And we're expecting her to make her mind up sometime in September about what her official plans will be.
Yeah, what about Newt Gingrich? Like, the air has been let out of his balloon, right?
Yeah, and I mean, for Newt, it's more like self-inflicted wounds. I mean, you know, he did not get out of the gate well, and he's yet to really regain momentum. Obviously, he took a huge blow when a ton of his campaign staffers quit on him, and that came up tonight in the debate, and he was asked about that. And, you know, a little side point here. I thought the questions in tonight's debate were very pointed and very good questions. I think a lot of people out there, both on the Democratic side, were worried that these guys were going to get a pass because it was Fox News hosting the debate, but I thought they did a very good job, as well as the Washington Examiner correspondents Byron York and Susan Ferreggio. They really grilled the candidates, and they had some awkward moments out there. In fact, there was one great exchange between Chris Wallace and Newt Gingrich where Chris Wallace brought up the question about, you know, Newt Gingrich's campaign staff putting on him. And Newt Gingrich said, you know, I'm tired of the media playing Mickey Mouse games, basically saying that that's a non-story. And Wallace, you know, that confronted him and said that is a big story. And frankly, in my opinion, it is a story. And Gingrich's response to that was, well, you know, Reagan's staff put on him and John McCain's staff put on him, and those guys both went on to do pretty well, so I'm not too worried about my situation. But I think deep down, everybody knows that Newt's in really, really bad shape right now. He's got a lot of work to do. I don't think he's a viable candidate to win the nomination at this point.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. One last one, a quick one. Just let's handicap this because you and I are sports fans. Who do you think wins in Ames, the straw poll over the weekend? What do you think, Ron Paul, Romney, who?
Well, you can't say Romney because he's taken himself out of the running on the straw poll, which makes it really interesting. It's going to be wide open. I mean, you could have a situation where the top two candidates aren't even on the ballot. I'm alluding to Romney and Rick Perry. I think Boxman probably wins. I'd be shocked. If he finishes below the top two, I would be absolutely shocked, and I think that that's going to be a huge blow to her campaign. Not that the straw poll is, you know, the most accurate 100% bellwether of what's to come, but it's still, you know, for people that live in Iowa, I mean, they put a lot of pride into this straw poll. It's a big event. It's a feature event for them. You know, so I think that Bachman has got to be considered the favorite. Valenti is clearly positioning himself to poll well and to do well in Iowa. I look for him to finish in the top three. Ron Paul is another guy who I think could make a surprise run at the top, you know, for in terms of the straw poll results.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if Ron Paul wins it.
Paul has,
you know, obviously, you know, a large contingency of supporters who follow him around. I wouldn't be surprised. But Bachman is my pick to win, and, you know, I'm going with her.
All right, my pick is Ron Paul, so we'll see.
Kate, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. And one other note, tonight was the sort of the coming out party for John Huntsman, the former Utah governor and then ambassador to China under President Obama. He was in the debate tonight, and I think that, you know, he didn't really do a whole lot to get a lot of buzz going around him. I don't think people are really going to be talking about John Huntsman tomorrow in the most glowing of terms. I don't think he is now a major player to be reckoned with. He's still got a lot of work to do. He had some decent answers, but he got hit on one question, and that is the lack of an economic plan that he's put out. And he said, you know, look at my record as governor of Utah. You know, we had growth in the state. We had a good jobs record. But I think at this point you have to have a clear-cut plan to grow the economy. Huntsman doesn't have one. I think that hurt him tonight. Otherwise, I think he did okay. But he came into this kind of late. This is his first debate. Not a lot of people are familiar with him.
He's stuck. Jeff, we're out of time. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News. Thank you.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Well, got it. And because lately you've been starting to lose.
Hey, welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and the nooks and crannies in between. How often do we talk about teenagers who fall through the cracks and how important that is for a better America? You know, we have been talking about this deficit, it seems like forever, and not wanting to leave this for the future generations. But besides the deficit, what about the personal side of it? Where are we headed as a country? What are we doing to help teenagers to get them on the right path to success instead of just letting them, in some cases, be forgotten or slide into those cracks? I want to introduce you to somebody who's with an incredible organization, one that I was just turned on to, actually, and I've been looking around for places like this, for foundations, for nonprofits, for groups that are actually trying to work on this. And here's a great one. It's called the Success Foundation. And the Success Foundation is about that. It's about getting those teenagers, hooking them in, I guess inspiring them, lifting them up. You might have heard of them because Dalton Sherman made big headlines. The way this kid speaks, unbelievable. I mean, he's gotten all kinds of honors and all kinds of different things, different competitions. He's such a great speaker. But you might have caught him. He was on a couple of daytime talk shows, the Oprah Show and the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Also, he's on the NBC Today Show. And I know a lot of you guys, when you're getting ready, you watch that. So you might have remembered Dalton Sherman. We're going to let you hear him at the end of this interview, by the way, to kind of give you the idea of who he was, if you know who he is, if you haven't heard him. Leah McCann joins us now, and she, of course, works with the Success Foundation. Leah, the Success Foundation, it is built around that, right? To try to do what you can to help these teenagers.
Correct. Basically, the idea behind the organization is that every teenager has the opportunity, or really every child has the opportunity within themselves to be successful. And we aim to help them find that by giving them the necessary tools and skills and education to make positive life choices.
Yeah, so how do you do that? What do you do? Who do you partner with? How do you get people involved?
Well, basically, we provide them with a book called Success for Teens. And it's a book that the student keeps. They work in it. They go through it. It comes with an audio version as well. And then we send it to the facilitator and allow them to kind of go through it themselves and give them guidelines on how to implement the program within their school.
Yeah, and it is through the schools. What have you found since the program started? What kind of feedback are you getting?
You know, it's really interesting that you ask that because, we're based here in Dallas, Texas, and we went to go visit a local school district. And basically they told us that the state mandated programs for, dealing with suicide and anti-bullying and harassment and things like that. So the state mandates these programs, but they don't fund them. So the teachers just kind of have to add one more thing to teach on the curriculum that they're already, trying to develop for themselves. So this is kind of how Success for Teens plays into the school districts around to help out with that.
Yeah. Are you finding that a lot of people are trying to jump on board? It seems like there's a built-in audience for this.
Yeah, once people understand what we're doing and they go through and look at the book and the information that's within the book, it's really not just for teens. Adults can understand it, too. Sometimes we need refreshers on these kinds of things.
No kidding.
And we're finding a lot of interest and a lot of great feedback on the fact that the book is really changing children's lives. We have great testimonial stories online that just kind of show you that the kids really, they take this information to heart and then they can do great things, just like Dalton.
Yeah, and a lot of this is positive reinforcement. The glass is half full, looking at things different, that habits are powerful. You talk about that. You talk about there's no such thing as failure, attitude is everything, all that kind of stuff, right? The positive reinforcement.
Absolutely, yes. As well as, the small decisions that you make, they're really not that small. They grow and they get to be bigger decisions in the long run. Like, you're going to do your homework today. Well, that creates a good outlook for college and things like that.
Yeah, no kidding. Leah, what's the ultimate goal? Is just to reach as many kids as possible, huh?
Yeah, really it is. The ultimate goal is to inspire success within as many teenagers and as many people as possible.
Yeah. Excellent. We love that. Check it out. We're going to introduce you to Dalton Sherman. I'll let you hear a little snippet of this coming up. But if you want to find out more, go to successfoundation.org. This is our daily salute for sure. Leah, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. All right. As I said, Dalton Sherman is worth checking out. This is a kid who's probably going to go on to massive success. Certainly, I think he's going to be a household name. Just his ability to speak is pretty amazing. Here's a little snippet of him addressing a very big group, talking about how the people in the group can help students by just getting involved. Take a listen.
Do you believe in my classmates? Do you believe that every single one of us can graduate ready for college or the workplace? You better, because next week we're all showing up in your schools.
All right, interesting. The speech that you heard, he was a fifth grader then. This was just a couple of years ago. 10 years old, gave a speech to 20,000 teachers. That speech went viral, and hundreds and hundreds of people downloaded it, clicked on it, that whole YouTube thing, and he ended up getting a lot of national publicity. But the key thing here is, how confident you can tell he is listening to his voice, and the fact that if there is ever a case for here's a motivational speaker already who is benefiting from this positive reinforcement, who knows where he goes? Who knows where he goes once he gets out of school, graduates school? I think probably some amazing things. A little bit different than what we're seeing with the teenagers, as I mentioned at the top of this, in England. In fact, it's gotten so bad, you heard me say that they're considering, meaning the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, is saying, well, we need to catch these culprits, and we have all this information out there, and this is a problem. So the Brits have summoned the two social networking sites, Facebook and Twitter, as well as Research in Motion, they make the BlackBerry, to try to figure out their roles during these outbreaks, what they can do. And he's saying this is killing them, because obviously the information can be used for good, but it's being used for violence. And that's what's happening, and we've got to figure out a way to stop them. They're trying to figure out how, because they're communicating so quickly, so rapidly, as I said, they'll be in one burb somewhere outside of London, and then the police show up, and then they Twitter other people or go through the Facebook sites and end up someplace else where they know they're free to loot and roam and smash windows and do all that sort of stuff. And they're going to have these meetings with those three companies, they say, in the next couple of weeks, because clearly the UK rioters, who are mostly young people who fall into that category of 12, 13, 14, 15, and a little bit older. Heck, there might be younger people. So they're using that BlackBerry Messenger, because it's free, right? They've got that instant messaging deal, and that's what the teenagers prefer there, but they're also using the two other social media forms as well. So what can they do? Research in Motion's inside BlackBerry blog, they say, was hacked, and that was after the Canadian smartphone maker suggested it would be they would cooperate with London police to help identify the people who used the BlackBerry, so then it got hacked. You know, there are people that are automatically, of course, objecting to what Cameron's saying, because, you know, there's your whole free speech thing. Now you're interrupting the flow of free speech. So if the government cracks down on telephone use or people talking about unrest, they're saying, you know, what if social media didn't exist? So wouldn't that really be the same thing? I disagree, because really what's happening is it's been an avalanche of social media, and it is definitely being used to coordinate where nobody is. So you can say, listen, free building, let's set it on fire. No one's around. I mean, that's what they're doing. So I don't blame Cameron for that. I think this is a tough situation to maneuver, because of the free speech aspect of it, where, you know, how far is too far. And, you know, always, if you listen to me, I'm not into the Big Brother. If anything, I'm for the Tom Jefferson smaller government. Not that I would tell the Brits what to do, of course. So they're in trouble, because unlike the young person you just heard speaking, these are young people who are lost in the sauce, and they're in the streets. I think they should just do curfews and bans, just try to do what they can to try to stop them there, if they can figure out a way, temporarily anyway. Because I don't know that they're going to be able to come up with a good strategy through Facebook or Twitter or any of that, or the BlackBerry route. I don't think so. Too bad. Oh, well, we know there's some great teenagers, and we were just talking about it. I hope that there are programs like that available to many of you listening who might have teenagers that can be used to encourage them to really apply themselves, think positively, and, you know, who knows what they can accomplish. Next up, Iowa.
You know that drinking pure, high alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? And most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough Shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
One quick stop to wrap it all up in Iowa. It was definitely a different feeling for this debate than New Hampshire, as we talked about in June, where there was a lot of politeness. There wasn't a lot of politeness here. There were certainly more swings, a little bit more like a slug fest, which has to happen. If you want to emerge ultimately as the candidate, you can't be afraid to take the other guy out or challenge them on stands, because these are career politicians who have all been in varying roles part of the government in some sense. I mean, you know, you could take a couple of them that haven't been, but for the most part, the majority have been in that position. A couple of former governors, certainly, current congresswoman and a congressman as Ron Paul. He's a veteran of doing this kind of thing. Paul never shies away from that. And then you have the side story of Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, now going to announce that he's running over the weekend. And how much does he challenge Mitt Romney? Someone suggested to me today that the ticket would be, if Perry would do it, Romney and Perry. Because then you've got Texas. And then you have Mitt Romney and the whole business thing and whatnot. I don't know that I see that ticket, Romney and Perry. And of course, then already you're talking about Perry agreeing to be the second guy on the undercard to be the VP when he thinks he has a real shot at getting this nomination and making a run for the Republican side of things to get that nomination and go for it in 2012 to challenge Barack Obama. All in all, this debate was definitely a much better watch than the last one, but like I said, because there was certainly more a liveliness to this, and more issues were scattered about, more things were talked about, I think, in this one, including challenging records and, you know, all that sort of stuff versus what we had seen the first time out. But this is just the first of many debates, because there's a whole bunch more coming down the pike with this many candidates. You're going to see a few things, a few more of these things set up across the country. One thing that was interesting, Ron Paul, who's not afraid to pull any punches, said that, you know what, in the middle of the debate, one of the questions that they were asked was about nukes. And Paul said that, you know, let them have it. Let them have it. And what's interesting is when he said that, you know, all troops should be brought home and it's time to stop the embargo on Cuba, which of course would raise a lot of eyebrows with some people. And then as far as Iran was concerned, he said, you know, it's natural for Iran to want a bomb if it's surrounded by countries like India and Pakistan and Israel, because they all have one. And with China, the United States and Russia all involved there, he says the U.S. shouldn't even get involved in their internal affairs. Just let them have it. Wow. So that's it. He goes out on the limbs. He doesn't care. And that's what he's saying. Let's get out of all these foreign affairs. Let them do what they want to do. We're out of it. We're done. And that's my last word for this hour anyway on Iowa. Much more interesting, a little bit more direct, and certainly issue-wise, there was more you could gain from if you were curious about how somebody felt about a particular issue, like there was an example of Iran. A lot of that came out during this debate versus the last time around. I mentioned the riots already in England because that is just a huge story. That's water cooler buzz even in this country. I was at the grocery store and somebody was talking about riots, and I thought certainly they couldn't be talking about England, and they were. Did you see all those fires? Oh, I can't believe it. Who started those fires? How are they going to stop it? Because they just cut their police force, which is what we were talking about last time around. They had Cameron to cut so many police, that was part of the problem. You get these mobs, these gangs that were bubbling up, and there weren't a lot of police to cover some of those spots across the outlying suburbs. Here's some other odds that I want to throw into the mix here before we call it an hour. And one of the things that certainly caught my eye earlier in the day was this deal about George Soros, an ex-girlfriend. I mean, I'm no fan of George Soros's. Trust me. He's got his hands in all kinds of pies that if only we could prove some of it. An ex-girlfriend has decided she's had enough of Soros and she's going to get him where it counts. She's going after some crazy amount of money. And this is over an apartment promise. She was a Brazilian soap star, and she's creating her own drama. She's saying that that the billionaire reneged on a promise to give her an Upper East Side apartment worth $1.9 million. So it's going to actually go to court. It's going to be in the Manhattan Supreme Court. She's 28 years old. She filed a $50 million suit saying that, among other things, that he slapped her while they were in bed discussing his real estate betrayal. So you have this sexy Brazilian actress with a thick accent. This is like a made-for-TV movie. And the crazy lefty mogul, who's worth, I don't know how much, $14 billion plus, and they had dated for, I guess, about 5 years, and then he just dumped her. I've had enough with you. So the lawsuit saying that she got slapped around. By the way, Soros is 80 years old. 80 years old. I don't know what a court's going to rule in this one. She did get some stitches. So she's trying to say that he threw the lamp and she... The New York are coming out in the New York media, you know, like the Post, where they can't get enough of the salacious stuff. But I don't think she wins it. I say no way. All right, this is the sad part here. Well, check this out. The Postal Service is considering 120,000 layoffs. 120,000 jobs, just cutting the jobs, basically. Not layoffs, just cutting them. And pulling the employees out of the health retirement programs that were set up for federal workers to put their own benefit systems together. Because here's the thing, it's sort of a last-ditch effort. They're bleeding. The post office is having another year of losses that are $8 billion or more. They've already cut a bunch of jobs over the last 4 years. And including a lot of administrative people, the post office has already asked Congress to change or drop the requirement that it make a $5.5 billion annual payment into a fund to cover future retirement disability benefits, because they say no other government agency has to make that kind of a payment. And they want permission to reduce mail from 6 days a week to five, because they could cost cut there. And they would want a refund of overpayments that they made to employees' retirement accounts, they say. So, I mean, there's no doubt the Postal Service is more than in decline. It is crashing. I mean, it is crashing. And with where we're headed, everything online, computers, all that stuff, how many of you listening to me? I mean, here's a great question. How many of you listening to me weekly get at least one handwritten letter or postcard in the mail? Through the miracle of my infrared glasses, I can tell that no hands have gone up. I don't think very many people do that any longer. In fact, I think it's cool when you get a handwritten note. I love to get notes, but you don't get them very often. You get texts, you get emails, you get electronic cards. You don't even get cards for your birthday in the mail anymore. Nobody goes out. They go to Hallmark, buy a card. They go to Hallmark, but they go to Hallmark online. So you can see why the Postal Service is struggling. Any thoughts on the show? It's not a struggle. Just go to americatonight.net, click on the email, and shoot it our way.